I find it probably the saddest idea the worldly notion that suffering has no purpose. I think about this sometimes during funerals. We grieve, and the burden is very heavy. However, as Catholics, we understand that there's more. There's hope. There's eternal life. And even the suffering we experience ourselves can be turned into something good and beautiful. Because it's a fact of life, whether you want to call it unfortunate or not, that we will not escape suffering. We must necessarily suffer. And this is something even those who are not very religious have to admit. Unfortunately, they spend, I think, a greater part of their time and energy escaping suffering. And if they could, they would even escape death. But no, we cannot escape suffering. And so, what do we do? This is another really foundational part to a strong spiritual life. Really, it could be connected very beautifully with the virtue of humility we spoke about. Another type of pride, in fact, one of the great types of pride that the spiritual writers talk about is what they call the pride of life. That is the attachment, the importance that we give to earthly things. This is a sort of pride. And so again, humility. But this humility, in order to do away with this pride of life, attachment to things, we must necessarily sacrifice. Now, particularly, I want to talk about the spirit of sacrifice, because this is really what we ought to enkindle in ourselves, is a spirit of sacrifice. It's not just, well, during Lent, or on Ember Days, or from time to time, seldomly, we do something. I mean, we all abstain from meat on Fridays. That's good. But most often, we're doing these things because we're told to by our Holy Mother, the Church. But how do we make for ourselves this habit and kindle in our hearts this spirit of sacrifice? Well, really, first of all, what is the spirit of sacrifice? Again, we look to look to the examples we see in the saints. We could say very simply that the spirit of sacrifice is a constant or a habitual desire to deny ourselves. Read the life of any saint, and we find this to be true. In so many of the saints, it's true in an eminent degree. They really overcame self. Mortification, their mortifications were perhaps For us, we might consider that they were extreme. For them, the Holy Ghost inspired, and they were generous. But it wasn't just, we have to realize this in the saints. We look perhaps at a St. John Marie Vianney, who did rather extreme penances. He would scourge himself to blood. But this was not the greater part of the strength he received from this mortification. It was not the occasional severe penance, but it was the constant smaller penances. It's related in his life that he would sometimes hear confessions for 16 hours in one day. Can we imagine that he wanted to do that? He did, of course, in a priestly way. He would want to help as many souls as he could, but humanly speaking, did he want to do that? Of course not. He had to overcome self in a major way. We know that he was very abstemious with his food. It was really the foundation of what made ours great. It transformed this town, which was known for its worldliness, for being kind of a nothing village. In fact, it was St. John was sent there so that he would be out of the way and not cause trouble. But by his spirit of penance, he transformed ours into this beacon of Catholic living. We might take, for example, many other saints. I love to consider one of our very favorites, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. Because her little way is so applicable, particularly in this. Because we don't see in her the same mortifications as St. John Marie Vianney. She, I don't believe, was given permission to scourge herself. Maybe she would have if she were given the permission. But she realized that no, the spirit of sacrifice is simply in denying self. And this, again, shows itself in so many little ways. We read in her autobiography, it was simply the careless splashing of her fellow sister while doing laundry. There was a great irritation. It was not just the dirty water splashed on her face. It was the thought that, how could she be so inconsiderate? That's just ridiculous. She should pay attention. Are these similar thoughts? Absolutely. But St. Thérèse was determined to overcome self, to mortify herself. And what did she do? She did not just calm her passions, give that sister the benefit of the doubt, but ever after, she determined that she was going to place herself next to that careless sister whenever she could, because she realized she needed to do mortification. Our blessed Savior told us, unless you do penance, you shall likewise perish. We have to consider the tone our Lord gives us here. It is not the same as when he gives the evangelical counsels. He says, if thou wilt be perfect, go sell all that thou hast, give to the poor, and come and follow me. That's him beckoning, giving the suggestion that people go and become religious, give their entire life, if thou wilt. In this case, however, our blessed Lord tells us, unless you do penance, you shall perish. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. We must do penance. The spirit of sacrifice is the key. Because to elucidate a little further on the spirit of sacrifice, I believe what we ought to understand by that word spirit, again, it's the constant desire, the habit of wanting to deny ourselves. But maybe that's the key word when we say spirit, wanting to deny ourselves. It is not some, or it ought not be, some sort of slavish, maybe mechanical drudgery. Yes, it's going to hurt. We're going to have to, again, retrain that brother donkey. It's not going to be easy. But if our spirit is right, then it can actually be a joy. What else did our Lord tell us? He said, my yoke is sweet, my burden is light. Only the spirit, the proper spirit of sacrifice, can help us to understand just what that means. So what might we say? One of the main things that can indicate to us that we have the proper spirit of sacrifice, I think there's one word that sums it up. That is cheerfulness. If we remember what it is we are doing, what are we doing? We're overcoming self. We're ripping out selfishness so that Christ can come and live in our souls. How beautiful is that? Why are we doing it? Well, we're doing it because God made us for that very purpose. It is truly our vocation, it's our destiny. And even more, why do we do it? Because He is infinitely lovable. He has loved us from all eternity with an infinite love that we can't even begin to understand. But we can return what little this human shell can return. So if we remember the what and the why, then maybe we will have the proper spirit and mortification will not be such a difficult thing. It's a give and a take, at least. Because I say it will not be a difficult thing, which is, in one sense, very untrue, because if it's not difficult, then we're not doing it right. It must be difficult. It must hurt our human nature. But that's the give. And what are we allowed to take? What does our loving God give us back? He gives us grace and strength and peace. He gives us happiness. So again, that word, cheerfulness. While we suffer, if we have the what and the why, if we are doing our utmost to remain cheerful, then I believe we have the spirit of sacrifice. Now, to return to Saint Therese, because the application of sacrifice is one that needs a little bit more fine-tuning, a little more discussion, just like humility does. What are practical ways to implement real mortification and sacrifice? Well, first, the little way. It is our daily duty that is first and foremost. Don't forget what our Blessed Mother said at Fatima, that the penance that is most pleasing to her divine Son is the penance of daily duty. And remember, that word penance very often has a very negative connotation when we hear it. It shouldn't. When we say the penance of our daily duty, we feel, ugh, this weight. But again, what is the spirit? What are we doing and why? So the penance of daily duty can be something glorious, something that we ought to do cheerfully, even though it doesn't seem so glorious, and sometimes it is awfully difficult to be cheerful, because other people have their own difficulties. Our children and our spouse always doing exactly what they ought to be doing? Probably not. But it is your daily duty to love and to care for them. There are a million and one little things that come up every day, particularly in the life of a mother, that make you want to shake your head and say, why? Well, if you shake your head and you ask why, I think maybe now you'll be able to answer that question. Unless you do penance, you shall likewise perish. So, the practical things, our daily duties, the million and one little things for being a mother, or for those of you who have work outside the home, there are many different ways there to practice sacrifice and humility. And don't forget that diligence itself can be a mode of penance. Something that many of us are not wired this way. Some people have this innate gift for order and organization and being on top of things. Most of us, not so much, at least in varying degrees. But diligence itself, just being organized, can be a beautiful way to overcome self, to do a little penance. Now we must add to sacrifice prayer, because I feel like there's sort of a succession of things. We talked about humility. One of the great challenges about humility is remembering it, especially in the moment. And so what do we do sometimes when we want to remember something? There's little things, we tie a string around our finger and set an alarm, whatever little practical things to remind us. Well, consider that penance, the spirit of sacrifice, can and should be that reminder toward humility. It's another one of the reasons we do penance, is to remind ourselves that We come from dust, and to dust we will return. We ought to be humble and realize that this body needs chastising. It needs to be brought into subjection. And so if we can manage that spirit of sacrifice and practice mortification regularly and cheerfully, this, more than most anything else, is going to be an incredible help towards humility. Now, how do we remember to be mortified? Another difficulty. Well, again, we ought to make this a habit. It needs to be an attitude, a spirit of sacrifice. But we do need to add to this prayer. Prayer, of course, is a crucial part of all of these things. It's like Saint Francis de Sales calls it. It's like breathing is to our body. If we stop breathing, we do not have long to live. And so with prayer, there are many things to say about prayer. In fact, we could give it an entire conference or many conferences just on prayer. But I want to highlight one part of prayer, or maybe one type of prayer. We, of course, could talk about the quality of prayer, which is so important, that we try to pray our prayers well. And don't forget, this is also another mode of penance, because our wandering thoughts need to be reined in. We're mortifying our mind when we try to pray well. But a type of prayer that I believe ought to be the first habit that we really try to form is constant prayer. Saint Alphonsus de Liguori could not recommend this highly enough. He wrote a whole book about it, a short book, How to Converse Continually and Familiarly with God. He put into letters what the saints all practiced, and that was a constant attitude of prayer. They simply talked with Almighty God, with the Blessed Mother, with their patron saints, with their guardian angel, all day long. And we can imagine, if this was the habit, if this is our frame of mind, this is a mentality, we just simply have Almighty God and the things of heaven on our mind, well, then we won't forget to mortify ourselves. We won't forget to humble ourselves, because that's our mode of thinking. And it can be done, but this is a habit that requires diligent work. They actually say it only takes about 21 days to form a good habit. Unfortunately, only a couple of days to lose a good habit. So there is perseverance needed in this endeavor. But I believe if there was one thing, and I don't think it's possible to say this because the spiritual life is made up of many things and everyone is different, etc. But if there was one secret, if there was one key, and if you were to ask all of the saints together, what is the one thing that I could do to better myself and to become a saint? I believe they would say this: talk to God always. Now, is this possible? We want just to dissect this a little bit. We, I think, will be too quick to give ourselves excuse and say, well, yes, but my day is busy. I've got the household, I've got work, I've got this, I've got that, etc. And that is true, but it is not being asked of you to be saying formal prayers. We're not asking for formulas or long stretches of discourse with Almighty God. If your brain can in an instant say something like, well, that's annoying, in that same instant, you can say, that's annoying. Lord, I give it to you. How quick and how easy was that? With everything, with things that seem insignificant, ask for his help. Tell him about it. Ask our Blessed Mother. Tell your guardian angel. Perhaps at first it might seem like we're a little crazy, but I think that ought to be our goal, actually, to be a little crazy in love with our good God. But this, as you might imagine, can form a mentality, keep our mind habitually where it ought to be. And if our day is informed by prayer, by a spirit of sacrifice, by a humble attitude, you will be the happiest people alive. Not only will you be happy, but this joy, the joy that comes from loving God with our whole heart, this joy will radiate. It will spread like a wonderful infectious disease to your husband, to your children, to your coworkers. So again, let us ask our Mother of Sorrows. We have only three things to remember and to ask of her. Help us to be humble, not just today, but every day. Help give us the spirit of sacrifice, to deny ourselves, to take up the cross daily and cheerfully, to pray continually, to have our mind on the things of heaven as much as we possibly can. Again, to be a little crazy. A fanatic, if you will. Fanatically in love with our God who loves us so very much. We want lasting fruits. It's amazing to me. We do receive special graces every time we hear a sermon. Every time we pray, God gives us graces to fulfill the duties of our vocation, and he gives us special graces, particularly when we ask, such as at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. But I do believe that there are these, what the spiritual writers call signal graces, these graces that are given us in a particular moment, maybe a day of recollection. God's grace touches us in such a way that we're determined not just to soak up the nice words, not just to have nice feelings, but to put into practice, to change our life in some way. I hope that that can be the case today. That God's grace helps you to change, to have lasting fruit. From this day on, maybe from this Lent, for the rest of your life, to have gained something, a deeper understanding, more firm determination to follow Jesus crucified. Oh, fervently, fervently pray that that is the case. And let us pray for one another. Again, ask our Mother of Sorrows that she obtain for us these things. Humility, sacrifice, prayer, a greater, a deeper love for her Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.